Hey guys, welcome to the Liberal Hive Mind, a channel solely focused on exposing the abundant hypocrisy of the left. Alright guys, so the video title and the thumbnail pretty much says it all. We got a lot more details dropping surrounding the shooting, this attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, and yep, pretty much as expected, the more information that drops, the worse it looks for Alejandro Mayorkas and his incompetent DEI hire, Kim Cheadle. Obviously, today is no different. Once again, I am calling on Kim Cheadle to resign from her position. Let me show you guys all the new video footage, and of course, more importantly, exactly what it tells us. I got some crazy updates to share with you guys. We got some stuff to get into, so let's roll the tape. Alright folks, so as per usual, we're getting that slow drip of information, and more importantly, we're getting that slow drip of video footage. It always works this way, a big event happens, and then slowly over the next couple of weeks, more and more cell phone camera footage will start to drop. Here's the latest exclusive drop from DC Drano. New exclusive video shows the shooter walking around by himself, looking up at rooftops near Trump, and the question that DC Drano is asking is how was he not detained, especially after getting caught with a rangefinder? Take a look.
Tonight, we're learning that the gunman was on law enforcement's radar for 3 hours, and the Secret Service designated Crooks a threat 10 minutes before Trump took the stage. Crooks first aroused suspicion at around 3 on Saturday when security saw him with a rangefinder passing through the metal detectors. Police say they had an eye on him until he disappeared. Crooks was later spotted for a second time, this time by a sniper, looking up at the roof, observing the building that he scaled and shot from. This was radioed into the command center. At one point, a sniper saw Crooks sit down and start scrolling through his phone. And investigators believe he may have actually had two phones. More on that later. This is when Crooks looked so suspicious that a local sniper team took this picture of him an hour before he opened fire. All of this information was being sent to the Secret Service command team at the rally.
We're gonna revert right back to that same word. Again, unbelievable. The perp was caught on footage canvassing the area, just casually walking around, not in the general rally-goer confines, but sneaking around the back buildings and scoping the area, doing what seems to be a reconnaissance survey. And again, the question I think everybody's asking themselves when they see this kind of footage is how? How was this guy allowed to roam around like that? It makes no frickin' sense, especially considering this footage was taken 1 hour before Trump was shot at, meaning this guy was walking around for an hour, possibly even longer, and not a single person intervened. And it gets even worse when you consider the fact that he was spotted on the roof, he was spotted snooping around, and he was even spotted with a rangefinder at one point, calculating the exact distance from the rooftop to where Trump was standing on the stage at the podium. I mean, just think about it, put it into perspective. The Secret Service and Police Department had one frickin' job: to stop, apprehend, and interrogate anybody suspicious, and especially anybody traveling outside the general areas doing some highly suspicious weird stuff. They had that frickin' job, and instead they just watched the kid, didn't secure the perimeter at all, just willy-nilly, nonchalant, not a care in the world. It simply doesn't make sense. In fact, a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. We've got some more information to get into. Previously, I showed you guys this picture right over here. I made mention of these little connecting structures between the two buildings, and how the perpetrator scaled up a ladder at one of those spots, gaining access to the roof. Initially, the photos that were circulating were relatively low resolution, and what was being reported was that those ladders were essentially already there, they were affixed. Well, now we've got an update, and again, it's totally unbelievable. Apparently, the perpetrator brought that ladder and placed it there. Just bear with me for a second. So, supposedly, this was the ladder that he picked up at Home Depot, a 10-foot step ladder. The current report is that the perpetrator took his van to Home Depot. This right here is the perpetrator's van, by the way, that was recently seized by the FBI. So he took this van, drove to Home Depot, bought this 10-foot stepladder, and then again, bear with me, he then carried said ladder from Home Depot all the way to Butler Farm Show Incorporated, walking all the way through the forest more than a mile in distance, carrying a massive ladder, an AR-15, and a bunch of ammunition. My mind is completely blown. Essentially, you had a 20-year-old kid carrying a rifle and a giant ladder, and he was simply allowed to walk in, set up his gear, scan the perimeter, gain access to the top of the building. He was spotted multiple times, and he was able to do all of this without a care in the world. Can somebody please explain how that makes sense? How could a 20-year-old kid pull this off? One exhausted 20-year-old kid who supposedly walked over a mile with a giant frickin' metal ladder. How on God's green earth did he manage to pull this off with the amount of law enforcement and Secret Service agents present during that day? Who made the calls here? We need answers to everything. James Comer recently subpoenaed Kim Cheadle, so that's of course a good thing, because we need thorough explanations and quick. We need to know exactly who made the calls. Who made the call to have all of these police officers and all of these Secret Service agents positioned on the complete other side of the perimeter when the clear and most obvious high priority threat was that factory building on Trump's right side? You know, again, the question that I keep asking myself is, why was that part of the venue not secured? Why was that building not completely surrounded by law enforcement and Secret Service agents? Take a look at this clip. Why were so many police officers on the opposite side of the fence and didn't even have access to the building? They had to bring a pickup truck to ram down the fence in order to gain access to the building side of the property. Who made the decision for the security perimeter and personnel layout? We need answers. Because very simply, what we are seeing is unacceptable, and of course totally unbelievable. It's either gross incompetence or malice and conspiracy. Kim Cheadle, Alejandro Mayorkas, Joe Biden, and of course the mainstream media at large, they don't want you asking any questions. Never question the official narrative. But having been exposed to everything we've seen over the last couple of days, how is it possible not to question everything? When absolutely nothing makes sense, when 2 plus 2 is 5, you're left with no other choice but to question the official narrative. That's the rational thing to do right now. We're looking at a Swiss cheese story. There's all kinds of holes everywhere. The government better come in and patch up every single hole with very logical explanations, or we're going to continue to see a steady erosion in trust in the legal system. You know, if they come out and say that 5-degree angled sloped roofs are too dangerous for Secret Service agents to climb, that's not a legitimate or acceptable explanation. If they tell us that what happened was they implemented the Pac-Man perimeter strategy tactic, you know, where you secure a perimeter in the shape of a Pac-Man, this little pizza-shaped cutout for the mouth right over here, placed perfectly right at the factory building, if they come out and tell us that that's the newest and latest and next-gen Secret Service presidential protection strategy, you know, again, no one's gonna buy it. They need a legitimate explanation, and frankly, we need to know exactly who made these calls, who made the personnel positioning decisions. There better be a good explanation for every single little thing that happened that day. But honestly, I don't think they're going to be able to do it, because how can you possibly justify or explain any of this? A 20-year-old walking around with a bulletproof vest, a rangefinder, a giant freaking ladder, multiple fully loaded magazines. Supposedly, he had over 100 rounds on him. How could they have let him through, and how did they spot him so early, and yet they took no action? But rather, the current report is that they spotted him acting suspiciously with a rangefinder and said, well, we need to keep an eye on this guy. Keep an eye on him. The moment they were suspicious, they should have detained him. They should have secured the area. How do you explain this level of incompetence? I simply don't know, but I guess we'll have to see. So far, the whole sloped roof argument isn't freaking cutting it. Anyways, that's pretty much what I got for you guys on this one. Hopefully you enjoyed the video. If you did, make sure to leave a like and possibly subscribe to the channel. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you on the next one.